And welcome to Planetary Spirit, coming to you on ETIN, Emerson College's Talk and Information Network. My name is Jeff Ferranini, and I invite you on an exploration of spirituality. And my guests today are Dr. Elsbeth Muth and Freddie Zentel Weaver. And they are the founders and directors of the Tantra Nova Institute in Chicago. They are internationally renowned workshop leaders, relationship and intimacy coaches, and certified Tantra yoga teachers. Their retreats and workshops have been offered throughout the United States, Canada, Europe, and Australia. They are the producers of the best-selling DVD series, Creating Intimacy and Love, and were featured on Showtime's documentary series, Sexual Healing, and the Emmy Award-winning NBC show, Starting Over. Elsbeth and Freddie Zentel have assisted more than 10,000 couples and singles in rekindling and expanding their love and relationships. They are on the faculty at Esalen in Big Sur, California, and at Kripalu in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. They are sought-after speakers who have presented at Loyola University, Northwestern University, the University of Chicago, Illinois, Association for Marriage and Family Therapy, and the American School of Professional Psychology of Argosy University and Bodhi Spiritual Center. Their latest book is entitled Sexual Enlightenment, How to Create Lasting Fulfillment in Life, Love, and Intimacy. And their website is www.tantranova.com. That's TANTRANOVA. So it is indeed a pleasure to welcome today to Planetary Spirit, Elsbeth Muth and Freddie Zentel Weaver. Hey, you two. How are you?
We are absolutely great and delighted to be on the show with you. Thanks so much for having us.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Freddie. How are you as well?
Beautiful day. Thanks for having us on the show.
Absolutely. It's wonderful having the both of you there. You know, I just wanted to turn to the beginning of this book, Sexual Enlightenment. First of all, I just have to say, whoever took the photograph of the two of you on the cover... so got it right. I mean, that is what every man and every woman desire to have in their life. Somebody who, when their head is close to the other person's head, a big giant smile comes across their face, their eyes are dancing with energy. And the way that Elsbeth is wrapped around you and the way that you are so solidly, Freddie, in yourself while enjoying the warmth of that woman with you, it's a priceless picture of real radiant health.
Yeah, that was a beautiful day.
Thank you so much, Jeff.
You're quite welcome. You're quite welcome. Now I want to turn to the first thing as a reader I notice, which is your, I guess you call it the appreciations page. It's where you kind of have a quote or something that starts your book that kind of gives the reader a little bit of a sense of where this writer is coming from or writers are coming from. And I just want to read this. You have dedicated this book to the conscious evolving of humanity.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That is so powerful for me that, you know, I really get a sense of it's not I, ego, Elsbeth, Freddie. It's really we.
Mm-hmm. You got it, Jeff. That's it.
Talk about that, Freddie.
Well, you know, the for us with Tantra Nova Institute, we're sharing practices that allow people to really work with this energy that's primordial, that's been around since our beginning existence, and without it we wouldn't be here. And within it, there is this creativity and pleasure. It creates life, and it's pleasurable when we're in it. And learning how to drop further into that is really what's going to allow us to continue to be more authentic and to really listen and see ourselves and each other as we continue to evolve. So in the bigger sense of the work, for us, it's about peace on earth and evolving the human consciousness back to this primordial, intelligent energy. Really, there's an intelligence when you think of the systemic relationship of creativity and pleasure, and how when that shows up, things are working. And yet there's so much war in the world, and there's this vilification and the shame and guilt and fear around the sexual energetic that we are. Forever we've been procreating with it, and you know, now we're talking about how to learn to co-create with this energy.
Right, right. And I'm thinking also, Elsbeth Muth, you're a doctor of education, so how perfect that you get to speak about, you know, this kind of term that you guys have created, and maybe you could speak toward this, this term sexual enlightenment. What does that mean to you, and what do you feel that means to the raising of consciousness of humanity?
Yeah, thank you. The term sexual enlightenment, as we have coined it, has in our eyes two aspects. One is an aspect that we are totally familiar with, all of us. It's that energy, that sexual energy that is wired into us, just like animals. It's running through us. You know, when we get ready to have babies, the hormones kick in, when we fall in love, and or just, you know, enjoy having sex by ourselves or with another. And in that sense, given that it's wired into us, we don't have to be conscious about it, just like animals. And we do have an animal part within us, all humans. So just like animals, when a bull and a cow go into heat, it's mating season, and they go through the process and they complete. However, at the end, the cow wouldn't be leaning back with a cigarette in her hand and saying, "Wow, that was a phenomenal lovemaking." You know? So that leads me to the second aspect of that sexual enlightenment, how we see it, that has to do with us humans being able to self-reflect, that we can watch and assess ourselves, our feelings, our physical sensations, our thoughts, and of course everything around us as well. So there is another aspect that we are capable to use if we are willing to, if we want to bring that capacity to becoming aware of our life force energy that is sexual in nature and can show up, you know, from a subtle state all the way up to an aroused state. And so that is what, where the book really starts, is how can we bring awareness to that energy that we not only can embellish our experience in the bedroom, and that too a great deal, however, that we can use that energy to embellish our life, to fuel our intentions and wishes, and, you know, connect more deeply with our child, with our beloved, with a person on the street. And given that, we say that we can use that energy to evolve ourselves as humankind.
Yeah, let me read a passage from the book here, from the first chapter, where you say, "Sexual energy in its physical manifestation and experience is unique in that it's creative and pleasurable. This allows for the continuing existence of life, which is part of us by nature. We can learn to draw on this awareness of creativity and pleasure similar to when we're in a loving space or viewing a work of art or in anything we regularly find joy. But you go on to say is our contention is that when life force, sexual energy, is unencumbered and free of past personal stories and collective interpretations that no longer serve us, creativity and pleasure are more accessible to us everywhere in life. So, what is the key point that you're bringing forth here that you don't think people are in tune with, in touch with, or even aware of?
Hi, Jeff. This is Freddie Zentile. First of all, we want to hire you to read our book. In this sexual energy, when we're in it, whether you're reading our book or listening to this show, we are more loving, open, vulnerable, receptive, connected with ourselves and with whoever we may be with. Where chemically we change, oxytocin's released, endorphins are enhanced, serotonin, and so on. So if we can be in that energy with the developed observer mind, which is the meditative mind, with an awareness of the parasympathetic breathing, the belly breath, working with this life force of sexual energy, we now are more connected with our intimacy. Into me, I see. And we're stepping through the story, through the experiences, through the collective socializations around this primordial life force. I can't think of anything more spiritual than creating life.
Amen.
Yet there's this vilification. What we're teaching is not about Sodom and Gomorrah necessarily. Some may choose to go through that door, but again, once you go, you can stay in there for a while, and it's like, okay, now what? What we're sharing is how we can use this energy to enliven areas of our life that seem completely unrelated to sex. If you think of this as so primordial, it's sexual energy, and the elements are creative and pleasurable, anytime creativity and pleasure show up, you could consider it sexual. And what happens when you start bringing consciousness to this area, as we teach in the sexual ritual practices and so on, creativity and pleasure start showing up in other areas of life that seem completely unrelated to sex and the simple process of living itself. It's really ultimately about how are we living our life now.
All right.
Yeah.
So I've got to ask you, you guys were both very competent and powerful and doing fine on your own as far as financially. You already had kind of gotten to the top of each one of the mountains you were climbing. And then you met, and you must have known that the Western world is not going to embrace this topic, with open arms. This has been long repressed in the puritanical mindset of the Western world for a long time. So I got to ask you, what were you thinking?
That's a good question. You think we are crazy?
No, not at all.
So actually what we did before professionally, Freddie was in the software business and I was an international management consultant, was part of the preparation for what we are doing now and may look like, what does that have to do, with sexual enlightenment? However, whatever I learned in business supports us now, and the same is true for Freddie Zentile, in creating and evolving our own business and making a difference. And then to the core of your question, it has something to do with how impactful, and I want to speak about myself, but he can share how it has been for him. It was so impactful, the opening that I experienced through that clearing in my sexual self and reconnect and integrate my sexual with my spiritual self, that I felt so inspired to share this opportunity, this possibility of healing and coming to a sense of fulfillment, that it was well worth. And it really had to do with I had come to a place in my life, yes, while I was successful in my work as a consultant, I was very, very unfulfilled and dissatisfied in my personal relationships to an extent that I saw playing out a pattern over and over again, and the pattern was about falling and being attracted to unavailable men. And as adventurous and exciting that might have been at certain moments, there was no sustainability. And for a long time, I thought it had something to do with the person over there, until I was made aware of by a wise coach that I may not be available. So anyway, I said, wow, really? Really? So, and then I put myself on the path and said, okay, then I want to find out what's in the way that I do not see and that prevents me from creating a fulfilling relationship. And the tantric practice was a key experience that I delved into and that assisted me in clearing, past experiences that I held literally on a cellular level in my sexual center. And through these healing, tantric healing practices, we have the opportunity to access a dimension of ourselves that's not available to our conscious mind. So I cannot talk about it. I cannot say, you know, there is something. I don't see it. And by clearing that, what opened up for me was deeper trust in myself, first and foremost, and then deeper trust in men. And then 6 months later, Freddy Santal showed up in my life. You know, so there is some correlation to shifting the frequency within oneself, so that I could really start resonating with a human being that was resonating with me, however, would not have recognized probably 10 years before that. Mm-hmm.
So you're really saying, at least what I'm hearing you say, is that you prepared a place for magic to walk in the door, and not only walk in the door, but be so comfortable that it wanted to stay, hang around, and grow there.
Yes. Oh, so beautifully expressed.
You know, the other thing that I found interesting about what you said was that when you went really in deep, Elsbeth, you weren't thinking anymore. You were connecting to something that was so beyond thinking. And when I was teasingly saying to you guys, what were you thinking? I was kind of setting you up, because I didn't think you were thinking.
No, the best work is not thinking. And that's really the ultimate piece to all of this, is because we are these big brain thinking Homo sapiens, been figuring out the universe for millennia. And the mind doesn't stop unless we train ourselves to just be in the witness of it. And most of that stuff we're witnessing is story and ego and survival mind and looking good and being right. So when we can step away from that through developing the observer mind, the meditative mind, then we can, and working with life force energy, which again makes us more intimately connected into me, I see.
Mm-hmm.
With intention, like Elsbeth's example, she was able to get out of her own way, no mind, to then allow in her deepest desires. It's like that's the magic that we are. That's that creative intelligence that we're a spark of. I think when we're in our creative selves, we are really manifesting that divine that we are.
And it sounds to me like when you're in more of a flow with your personal energy, whether that's sexual energy or attracting energy or flirting energy or, you know, creative energy, any of that, when you're in that flow, you're then open to allowing more interactions to be coming towards you and through you and around you that are only lifting the vibration higher and higher and higher. And having not block the way of sexual energy, which is how we tend to view it. But really, that's just energy. We're
right.
labeling it sexual energy, and we're kind of putting it down that chute of sexual energy. But when all of ourselves are turned on to being alive and enjoying this experience, all of it is so much more pleasurable. Even eating that ice cream cone, or
exactly.
looking at that tree, or beholding that beautiful face in front of you.
Yes. Yes, you got it, Jeff. That's exactly it. And one of the things that we outline in our book are practices that develop an individual's ability to listen energetically, not just from the left brain calculating strategic text that we so value and live in and has served us so well. And I wouldn't say do without. I'm saying there's another dimension that we can develop that can serve us as well, and that's that all-knowing. And this creative life force energy is a breadcrumbs back to that listening. It's always been there.
Yeah. Would one of you talk to me about the energy ball that you use in your workshops? I just loved, when I was reading this, this visualization that was coming through of you. Okay, so we're talking about energy, but let's actually see how energy works. And then you take this visualization of this energy ball, and you sort of kind of blow minds.
So the energy ball is essentially, it's basically a ball with a little battery in it, a CR battery, and it's got two negative and positive connections on the outside of it. It looks like a little, like a ping pong ball. And when you complete the connections, touching both ends, positive and negative, the little light lights up. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So what we do is we'll take a circle, sometimes as large as 60 people, and people will connect their hands, and anybody in the circle who breaks a connection breaks the ball lighting up. It's basically open and closed systems, just like a light switch.
Mm-hmm.
But what makes it so powerful is that the people are the light switch. And coupled with the conversation around energy and connection and disconnection, you know, it doesn't look like disconnection to this field of energy that we are just going to be a part of, whether we like it or not. When I say, no, there's no good women, or the world doesn't understand me, or I'm all alone, or it's just about me, that doesn't look like disconnection. You know, it looks like the typical Machiavellian kind of thinking that we're sort of raised to be in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and yet, so this ball really illustrates this connection that we talk about that's just beneath that, what I just illustrated, as a disconnect. You know, so it really illustrates what's available in terms of just really dropping out of that thinking, being in the witness and the belly breath, and then savasana, you know.
Mm-hmm. Anything you'd like to add to that, Elspeth?
Yeah, and the ball also, you know, is great to use to get the inner circuit of oneself, because the circuit really starts with oneself. So if my frequency is off, you know, like that compartmentalization between my heart center and my sexual center, or my spiritual center, it's like, we call it like the frequency is off, the flow that you mentioned earlier is not there or not fully there. So, you know, a key part of the work is really to reconnect with one's own circuit, with one's own circulation of energy, because when energy circulates through our body, our emotional circulation, and up into our spiritual center, then we actually feel alive, just as you described it a moment ago. So for me, the ball is always great to see that, oh wow, there is an inner circuit, and part of my being here is about to reconnect, to breathe, to let my energy flow within so that I feel well and at ease and in my flow, so that I can also then connect more fully to my beloved. Because when I'm not in the flow, when my frequency is off, guess what? I may not want to connect with my beloved, because that's the last thing. You know, I'm so preoccupied with myself.
Right.
Or I'm so angry that, no, I don't want to be in his arms right now. However, the practices also that we teach for partners and couples are designed to assist each other to drop out of the chatter of the mind and that self-righteousness or that disappointment into the heart space. And by breathing into each other's heart, we connect with that frequency, like that ball, you know, that circuit.
Mm-hmm.
So the circuit
mm-hmm.
is reestablished. And then from that place, of course, we can look at what may need attention. You know, I'm not saying to pacify the concerns that may be there between two people. However, to drop into a space where I'm in my flow and where I can listen to myself and where I can listen to Freddie Zintal. And that opens up, like that ball really assists us in that circulation, in seeing or making energy circulation visible.
Well, Freddie Zintal and Elsbeth Muth, we're going to be taking a short break now. Will you stay on the line with us?
Okay.
Okay, great. And we're listening, you're listening to Planetary Spirit, and my guests today are Dr. Elsbeth Muth and Freddie Zintal Weaver, and they are together the co-authors of a book entitled Sexual Enlightenment, How to Create Lasting Fulfillment in Life, Love, and Intimacy. And for more information about them and programs that they offer, go to their website, www.tantranova.com. That's TantraNova.com. And if you're enjoying this program and would like to access past interviews, go to the Planetary-Spirit website, planetary-spirit.com website, for on-demand archives of past shows. We've got about 200 or so interviews available for listening or downloading, whichever it is you're interested in. And so I would like to read at this time a poem, which is one of mine. And the title of this poem is The Sacredness of Sex. Few people know the sacredness of sex. Sex is used for power, to revenge an unfaithful mate, for bragging rights, in hopes of gaining self-esteem, for procreation, for mindless recreation. Sex masquerades as culture in commerce. Nowadays, sex can kill. Sadly, the essential sacredness of sex remains hidden from our hearts. Do I dare look deep into my lover's eyes, feel tenderness and awkward confusion? My heart wants to burst open in gratitude. You find me worthy. Here we linger in divine union, long enough to let my guard down, feel my feelings spilling over into murmuring echoes of shared heartbeats. We breathe in each other's breath, celebrating wetness and hardness, being in wordless, timeless connection, conscious, naked, raw, innocent and newborn, exhausted by labor's exaltation, we reflect divine light, whole and complete, within, without, combined, or separate, God is. So, welcome back then again to Planetary Spirit. Again, we're talking with my guests, Freddie Zintal Weaver and Elsbeth Elizabeth Muth, who are the co-authors of their book, Sexual Enlightenment, How to Create Lasting Fulfillment in Life, Love, and Intimacy. And they are the co-founders of Tantra Nova, which is a class, discussion, and science, I'm almost guessing, of ancient science of experiencing and learning about the energy of Tantra. And their website is www.tantranova.com. That's TantraNova.com. So, welcome back, Elizabeth Muth and Freddie Zental Weaver.
Thank you.
You are quite welcome.
So, just a little bit about our institute. We've had our institute for 13 years here in Chicago, and we've worked with thousands of couples all over the world now doing our seminars. And what we are is Tantra Nova is an integration of the old and the new. We're using some of the energetic yoga of Tantra, one of the original yogas, as opposed to Hatha yoga, the physical form. And we're integrating Western approaches to transformation in terms of generative language, how we create our reality in language, creative self-discovery, how we discover ourselves in creative processes like music and movement and art. And we blended the two with various exercises and practices to create a unique mix and curriculum that really fits for the Western person to really begin to drop in, use, and understand and experience these deeper practices that can really just lead one to a better connection with themselves and with the people and partners in their life.
Mm.
And how your poem ended, you know, it's the connection with God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, with that divine source energy, which, I mean, most people, when they're having an orgasm, cry out, "Oh, God." So consciously or unconsciously, there is that connection to that energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just that we don't consciously like to talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, you posed a question that we were out of our minds, and, you know, it's funny because when we started this work in the Midwest, which there are no Tantra teachers that look like us or even doing this here,
right.
We weren't thinking about, you know, how successful it would or wouldn't be. We really weren't that strategic. And what really has allowed our relationship to flourish and be exciting is transcending that romantic drama, which we almost did immediately by forming this. This became like a sexual expression, creating Tantra Nova and continuing to create it and recreate it and keep it growing has been like for us a sexual experience in terms of, you know, the creativity and pleasure that we get from doing this work at that level. So it's like another manifestation of that energy.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's take a bigger bite of the apple. We've been kind of nibbling around the edges here, but you're saying moving towards sexual enlightenment requires skill building in three areas. So it's one, conscious breathing, two, meditation, the observer state of mind, and three, energy awareness, both non-aroused and aroused. Who would like to start with conscious breathing and kind of giving us a sense of where that leads?
Okay, so conscious breathing is, again, an essential piece to working consciously with sexual energy. So our minds are a very busy place, as we know, and oftentimes that process is like, well, what is he talking about? So just to give your audience an experience of this, we'll do a short process, and this is a takeaway. So if you're sitting in a chair, just uncross your legs and just allow your thoughts to come and go. Bring your focus and awareness to your belly breath. So the parasympathetic breath is breathing into the diaphragm or extending the belly like a big balloon on your inhalation, like you're playing Sonic Santa Claus, your own pace, depth, and rhythm, and exhaling back up and out all in your own pace. Right, good. So bringing your awareness now to your breath. Follow it with your awareness into your nose, down your trachea, into your lungs, and extending into your belly diaphragm like a big balloon on your inhalation, all through breathing through the nose. Exhaling back up and out, all in your own pace, depth, and rhythm. just watching the thoughts come, watching the thoughts go. Bring your focus back to the breath coming into your nose, down your trachea, into your lungs, extending into your belly like a big balloon on your inhalation. Exhaling back up and out, all in your own pace, depth, and rhythm. We'll just do this a couple more times without me speaking. So just in that small example of stillness, just a few seconds, we can see how busy our mind is. And when we had a moment of stillness, we can see how sweet that was. And that's available to us at any moment. Now, when you couple that with working with life force energy, then we got something there. It becomes a prayer. The difference between meditation and prayer is, prayer is speaking to God. Meditation is listening. And we begin to listen as we do these practices to something that's always available that we are a part of.
Okay. And now the next step is meditation, the observer state of mind. Elsbeth, do you want to take that one on?
Yes. The belly breath is a prerequisite for coming to stilling our mind, our busy mind. Because when we, as Freddie explained, when we breathe into the belly, our parasympathetic nervous system gets activated. It's the feel-good nervous system. Endorphins are being released, serotonin. And by breathing into the belly, we can actually start becoming quiet. And in that space, we can watch, like watch even the rising and falling of the belly or the way how I feel right now. You know, oh, I feel anxious or I feel at peace. Watching my thoughts coming and going. So in that watcher, in that witness, I become aware of myself, and also in that watching, I come to the present moment, because that is where really our experiences or the sensing lives. It doesn't live in the future or in the past, but in the moment. So these two dimensions, these two aspects of conscious breathing into the belly and becoming the observer of oneself are the prerequisites for then tuning and listening to the third dimension, which is becoming aware of our human energy that runs through us all the time. Now, human energy is not something we learned about in school or in college. We learned about electrical energy, hydro, nuclear, thermal, whatever form of energy. However, not about our human energy. And so this we can consider a brief course in becoming more aware of one's own human energy, which is that we bring then awareness to how energy runs through us, which it does all the time, emanating from the base of the spine. That is where life force energy resides and emanates and moves then up in a serpentine way, all the way up to the top of the head and then back down again. It does that already. So it's not that we are introducing something new to our body and our being. However, we become aware of it, and whenever we become aware of something, we can take action with, we can guide it, we can affect it. And so we do this first with non-aroused energy or subtle energy, just like right now, you know, sitting wherever you may be sitting or standing, energy is running through us. So when you take in a deep breath into the belly and then sending it out again, you can visualize that you breathe up the breath from the bottom of your spine, into the belly, up into your chest, all the way up to the top of the head, and on the exhalation, you guide the breath, the energetic breath, down and out of your base into the cushion of the chair or the floor, wherever you may be sitting or standing on. So that is what we mean by bringing awareness to our energetic flow.
Yeah, the one thing also that I found really fascinating was that you have chosen to work with three energy centers in the energetic body. So by that I mean the chakras or the energy centers, which are not normally visible to the naked eye. And those centers are at the in between the eyebrows, or what's considered the third eye, the heart center, and then I guess it's the place right a little bit below the navel. Some people call it the Hara, H-A-R-A. Those are three. Why did you choose those three energy centers, and how is it that you work with creating a flow as a result of working through those three energy centers?
Yeah, we chose these three because they are essential. I mean, all energy centers are essential to come to greater wholeness and integration within oneself. However, we want to focus on the creation center, sexual center, the heart center, or love center, and the third eye center, the consciousness center, because it is this axis that we want to emphasize to return ourselves to, particularly the interaction of our sexual self with our love and emotional self and our spiritual self, consciousness self. And by doing that, we actually affect the other centers as well. You know, they are interactive. So if I open my heart center, it has an effect on the one below, which is my power center, before I come to my sexual center. I don't know if I spoke to your question.
Yeah, you definitely did. Freddie, I kind of got the feeling you might have wanted to add a little something to that.
Well, you know, just in terms of the chakras or energy centers and why even work with them and what relevance does that have with, you know, sexual enlightenment, if we think that all of our collective experiences and stories are within us, and it's all energy, and emotions have an energy body. So when we start focusing on these particular areas of the body, like, for instance, say, the throat or the heart or the sixth chakra, the intuitive third eye or the second chakra, energy chakra, stories come up, experiences come up, feelings, sounds, smells. And usually I find when I do a particular meditation that we teach, it has to do with what's going on with me presently. You know, if I've got a big show coming up or something, mm-hmm. I might be mm-hmm. have a weird feeling of groundedness in my fifth chakra, my throat chakra, or not. So there's an opportunity to, if you will, flatten some of that emotional, potentially disconnect or static that's just hanging around, just through bringing awareness to that energy body that's associated with that feeling, emotion, story, aspect of my body, and with the breath. So that's why the energy centers or the chakras are very important to continue to work with as a doorway to a deeper getting ourselves.
Okay. Yeah, I could definitely see that. I want to kind of bring us to, I think, a very important part of your book here, which is the practices. And you say that there are six practices, and I believe five of them are available through the tantranova.com website as a free audio download. And then the practice number six is a home study course and video program as well as audio that's available through the website as well. So practice one is calm the unending chatter in your mind, conscious breathing practice. Practice two, circulating energy, chakra listening practice. Practice three, connect with your love muscles, pelvic floor muscle practice. Practice four, heart-to-heart connection, partner spooning practice. Practice five, yin and yang, balancing feminine and masculine energy practices. And then practice six, sexual healing practices for the woman and the man. So the one I really just felt very connected to was practice four, the heart-to-heart connection or partner spooning practices. Could you talk a little bit about that? Because, you know, you said earlier in the book that the heart is really the gateway. It's like you have three chakras below the heart area, and you have three chakras above the heart area. But the heart area, when it is fully functioning and connected, really allows the three below and the three above to make that connection and to really run the energy in a much more powerful way. And so I feel in some respects that this partner spooning practice has a lot more going on than just two people hugging.
Yes. So the hugging or the spooning is the physical, you know, somatic form and shape and appearance. And then, of course, the other dimension is the energetic dimension that is not visible, as you have mentioned, as we have mentioned. So it's not as tangible initially. And the heart center, the energy, the frequency of the heart center of love energy is the reconciler between our spiritual, our, you know, heavenly self, and our earthly sexual self, physical self.
Mm-hmm.
So when we work with couples, you know, to have them go right to sexual practices is not a wise thing. Because what is called for is that we connect from heart to heart. Because when the heart is open to oneself and to the other, we can begin to be truly present. We can listen more deeply to ourselves, which is so essential if I want to be in partnership with another, because if I cannot listen to myself, I cannot really listen to another. And that heart center, that love energy, opens me to be present and available to my beloved in front of me. So this is the most powerful energy that we do almost every day. Maybe a very short interlude where we just hug each other standing and breathe into each other's heart center. So when we breathe in, we receive the other's heart energy, and when we breathe out, we send our love energy into the other's heart energy. So we have this circuit again, as we described it earlier, with the energy ball. And when we do this for a few breaths, we drop out of our busy mind into our love self, like love as a presence, love as a beingness, love as in loving, love as feeling loved all at once.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where, you know, things are opening up. So I can, you know, this couple we spoke about in the book that came to us pretty much at the verge of separation. They showed up at a workshop one day, and she cried almost throughout the workshop all day long, while he was somewhat distant and, you know, not very open to engaging with her. However, something opened up for them in this workshop, so they came back and, you know, kept growing together. They felt there was something there for them that had potential of re-enlivening their original sense and love for each other, which then actually happened over time. And they said that the heart-to-heart connection was and still is, because they just showed up recently again, that this is the practice that, you know, reconnects them over and over again. She feels, you know, really being gotten, and in that connection she can relax and trust, while he feels that he is, you know, they are, you know, centered and grounded in himself. You know, just as you spoke earlier about Freddie Zental in the image on our book,
mm-hmm.
the cover,
mm-hmm.
it's that kind of beingness a man, you know, desires and loves to be in, grounded in himself, yet embraced by the feminine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I also just want to bring to people's attention that what we're talking about is somebody standing in front, the partner standing behind, and the one who is behind has their, I think it's their left hand or right hand, is covering the heart of the one in front. And so there's this very intimate connection going on of being surrendered, of being at peace, and of also being in an intimate way with this other that allows the both of you to come into a deeper connection without having to do something. It's really an invitation towards deeper being.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. If I may just add something to
please do
our conversation around the feminine masculine flow, these practices are not just for heterosexual couples. This learning is for any human being because we all, you know, are made of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
in any couple, no matter if it's heterosexual or same-sex couple or transgender couple, there's always a polarity, you know, like the minus and the plus that
mm-hmm,
we describe
mm-hmm,
with respect to the circuit. So it doesn't matter if they are two women or two men. It's always a polarity, the magnetism. Otherwise, the relationship wouldn't be able to sustain. It's the attraction, the magnetic attraction of, we could call it, masculine, feminine, yang, yin, you know, plus, minus, whatever in electrical terms.
Mm-hmm.
And so these practices encourage that connection of giving and receiving, you know, of speaking and listening, of being creative yet intentional, of, you know, what was the other one? Playful, you know, and grounded. All these polarities that embellish each other and that complement each other.
So let me ask you, in the 13 years that you have been in creation of Tantra Nova, has there been any point in it that you have been surprised by what has shown up on the path or in the workshop?
Not really, Jeff, because we do the practices ourselves and we know what is there for us. And I think the joy is really getting and seeing over and over again how connected we all are in terms of our collective connection to what's possible in getting out of our own story or way in creating and allowing in what we would like to create as happiness in our life. We see that over and over again with couples and individuals that come through the workshops as they start doing these practices, and they leave and they come back and they email and they report the shifts that have happened and that are happening in their life.
So for me, I am in awe. Sometimes I surprise myself, finding myself in awe about the efficacy of this work, these practices. And these are not just, yes, we created certain practices based on these principles that were, you know, transmitted from the tantric practice originating from East India and the Taoist practices originating from China. They are universal practices. Yes, we developed them in a certain way to make them accessible and all of that. However, the principles are underlying, you know, just like gravity, there are certain laws There are certain laws around human energy. When it gets constricted, we get sick physically, we get emotionally unwell, and we become disconnected from our spiritual connection within and with the universe. So in that sense, I find myself at times really being like, wow, you know, we just did this practice and a tremendous shift has occurred, an opening has occurred, often with very little talking.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jeff, this has to be cultivated. You know, doing these practices once or twice is not going to sustain the opening. So people may see something out of the opening. However, to make it sustainable, mm-hmm. just like in any other field, we need to practice, like daily.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about being on the mat for an hour or going to the club for 2 hours in that way. No, if I do it for 15 minutes, every day, there's an altering of the nervous system that is happening that then, over time, instills the sense of connection, of wholeness, of love.
So what I'm hearing you say is that there are lifestyle choices that you are choosing to make that are enhancing the quality of your life by spending very few minutes each day, but consistently spending a few minutes focused on your sexual energy or focused on your conscious awareness of energetic flow in your life. And this is leading you to an enhanced quality of life.
And you know, Jeff, it could be as simple as just doing 10 conscious full belly breaths every morning. That's the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is a beginning to start to separate out this story that is, you know, evaluating every moment and judging and opinionating and so on.
Just becoming more conscious. Well, Elsbeth Muth and Freddie Zentel-Weaver, we're going to have to be consciously ending it right there, but I want to thank you so much, the two of you, for the work you're doing with Tantra Nova and this wonderful book, Sexual Enlightenment.
Yeah, and Jeff, there's one thing that we want to give to the listeners, which are 10 free practices available on our website, and some of them we alluded to in this conversation today. So go to tantranova.com and get your 10 free practices right here, and you have it all at a glance.
All right, then. All right. Well, thank you both.
Thanks, Jeff.
You're welcome. And my guests today on Planetary Spirit have been Elsbeth Muth and Freddie Zentel-Weaver, who are the co-authors of Sexual Enlightenment, their latest book, How to Create Lasting Fulfillment in Life, Love, and Intimacy, as well as the co-founders of Tantra Nova. And all of their information and more of their course possibilities and free opportunities that they just spoke about are available on their website at www.tantranova.com. That's TantraNova.com. And if you're enjoying this program and would like access to past interviews, go to the www.planetary-spirit.com website for on-demand archives of past shows. And so this is Jeff Fiorinini, host of Planetary Spirit, wishing you all a blessed day.